Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Think Outside the Blue Box, a podcast about creative journeys and where these local artists are. We feature a local artist here in the Tampa Bay area, and today I have one of my favorite musicians that we've done quite a few music videos together, and just an all-around really cool guy, very talented guy. Welcome to the show, Mr. Tate Kowan.
My bro, it's an honor. Happy to be here.
What's going on, man?
Oh, you know.
It's been a while.
Little this, little that.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, okay. Let me
you
scoot
gotta,
up.
You got to get a little closer.
Yeah, okay. I'm here.
So what's been going on, man?
You know, just finding my way creatively, slowly but surely.
Yeah, we've worked on a few music videos together, and your music, I relate to it so much, man. Like me personally, you know, like especially one of the last song that we shot together. You know, it's very powerful music. It comes from the heart, and you can tell it's authentic.
I appreciate that. That's what I go for. You know, like I never just wanted to make some stuff that, you know, was mindless, or, you know, it just, if it doesn't mean something to me, then I wouldn't write it in the first place. You know what I'm saying? So when it hits with people, when it resonates, that's, you know, that's what I do it for. So
yeah,
so,
and it's cool. Powerful, man. Because when I'm shooting this stuff and I'm editing it, I'm like, yeah, man, I can relate. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you're talking about on Whoa. We're talking about always knew I'd be a motherfucking boss. Like, you know, doing your own thing.
Always knew, man.
Running your shit by yourself. Yeah.
So. Yeah. So what got you into music, man? How did everything begin for you?
So I was born in Detroit, Michigan. You know, Motown and
Motown.
Yeah, both my parents very musically, I don't want to say musically inclined, but, you know, just big fans and listeners. And growing up, I just got such a large, you know, such a wide palette of different, you know, artists and whatnot, as far as who I listened to, who I was introduced to.
Are your parents musicians or?
Neither. No. Like my dad probably could have been, should have been.
Yeah.
But no. I guess I should. Should I turn that off?
Again.
Yeah. But yeah, so like my dad was not in my life for most of my adolescence, teenage years, but early on until I was about 6, 7, he was around. And like, you know, I listened to everything from Jeff Buckley to, you know, Marvin Gaye to the Black Crowes.
Nice.
You know, just such a wide range of artists. And I always, you know, I'd always be singing by myself, whistling, whatever it was. And I never really connected the dots until I was about 12, 13, 14. And it was mostly because of hip hop at that point that I wanted to do it myself.
What year was that? I know you're kind of young.
Shit. like 03.
Okay.
04 was when, like, I didn't start working on music, but I just kind of had this itch that I was like, you know, I
like
was
you
listening
knew it was
to.
There.
Yeah. And I think it was 50. He dropped, I want to say it was either The Massacre or Get Rich or Die Trying. And I was just on the bus at the time. And this will tell y'all, you know, how old I am without telling you how old I am.
Yeah.
I'm on the bus with the CD player of burned CDs, listening to 50 Cent and just realizing how dope hip hop was. And then I went back and did my research and, you know, Tupac, Biggie, Eminem. Eminem was always there being from Detroit. But yeah, just I think hip hop really was the spark within me that made me realize I wanted to do it myself. So
who's your idol? Who's the person that you look up to the most?
My favorite artist, like ever, as far as just hip hop goes, would be J. Cole.
Okay.
You know, he's always said something in his music. it's always,
it's about the message.
It's always been, I mean, in his latter years, he started to kind of just have a little more fun with it, which I appreciate too, because I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he has, you know, most of his solo stuff is very deep, and it's the type of shit that'll get you through, you know, whatever you're going through. But not hip hop oriented. Jeff Buckley was a really big influence. I don't know if you're familiar or not.
No.
But you know, you probably only know of Hallelujah. He has his own rendition of that song. It's by Leonard Cohen, I want to say.
Okay.
Originally, but yeah, he kind of became famous for that rendition or that remake that he did. But he had an album. The only album that he released before he died, it was called Grace, and just the vocals, the subject matter on that album, like when I was really young when I first started hearing it, just took me on a ride. And it just, that's kind of a good summation of where my influences came from, like all the way from Jeff Buckley to J. Cole.
Wow.
And so much in between. Yeah, you know, so
yeah, that's good. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a good inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all about the message too, man. Like when you I know you're a bit OCD about your music.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's got to sound right, you know. It's like you have this message and you have this word that you want to convey across, and it's like,
yeah,
you got to hit those right chords. You got to hit the right notes.
You know, the creative process for me, just by myself, is, you know, I'm definitely hypercritical of myself. Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm not gonna even write something if I don't think it's good enough. Like if I start and I just don't feel like I got in that flow, or I'm not in that space of no mind where I'm just, you know, in my bag completely, I'm probably gonna just step away and try to live life a little bit more and come back when I'm, you know, ready to,
when it hits.
Yeah, exactly.
When that creativity hits.
And yeah, I mean, I take it very seriously. You know, and my best friend, Nathan, Nate Scott, over at Sonic Rocket Studios, I've been working with him for, I don't know, I want to say maybe 8-9 years now, something like that.
He's the guy that mixes your stuff.
Yeah, he's my engineer.
Nice.
And you know, he tries to pull that out of me too. Like, you know, when we're working together, I flew out to record my last album in California in Fallbrook for 10 days, and you know, there were some nights where we were butting heads, because like, to me, it was great. It was exactly what it needed to be. And he's always trying to push me to that next level.
One step
right.
Further, yeah.
And for me, just being so rooted in, you know, my own ideas of what is great and what it's supposed to be. You know, we have our moments of friction, but it's all because, you know, like he likes to say, we both care so much about the final product that, you know, it's bound to happen.
It's about the collaboration too, man. Like I know it's your baby, but you kind of have to let him kind of.
Yeah, because it's an outside perspective, yeah. You know? And I think that's where, like, honestly, the best friendships, you know, like that's a good marker of a good friendship is, you know, can you argue? Can you argue and get through it? Can you work through it? Can you come to a common ground, or can you at least understand each other where you're coming from and push forward and not get offended? You know what I mean? So
that's important too, man, because I know some artists are like, they think they're the end all be all, right? So like the buck stops with me kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what anyone says, like it has to be your way, but it's a collaboration, you know, it's a creative project. You have to kind of let people kind of put a little piece of themselves into your piece of art.
Yeah. And you don't, you know, there's a difference between having that kind of a friend and just a bunch of yes men around mm-hmm. you that tell you that everything you do is the best shit ever.
That's
you know
worst.
What I'm saying? It is the worst. So
that's the worst.
I really appreciate that. And like, even when you and I work on stuff, you know, when we're doing videos, you know, I feel like, you know, my ideas, I try to make sure that they come across, but then I like that your creative process, like we still honor that, you know, and it kind of comes to a culmination of the two, and you know, that's when the best shit comes out.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. I love when you push back, man, because it's like you're seeing and hearing, like one of the times you actually heard something that I didn't hear on the track, and you know, we had to go back and fix it. But it's like, mm-hmm. it's that kind of stuff, you know. It's like I'm so caught up in the video and the visuals and everything, and then when I show it to you, you're like, yeah, bro, like this didn't go here, and the audio, you know, didn't match here, or it skipped a little bit.
Yeah, because the things that you are hyper-focused on mm-hmm. are different than the things that I'm hyper-focused on. So,
yeah.
You know, when we put those two together,
It's magic.
That's how it happens. Yeah.
It's magic, yeah, man.
So, but I'm always like, you know, when we're wrapping up and I'm like, I know he wants to be done with this right now, but this last piece, I can't let this out.
Yeah,
so
we gotta do two more shots.
If I have to wait a month, yeah, it is what it is. Like, I'm not putting it out, and I know he wants to get it done. So
hey, don't rush the creative process, man.
Yeah, can't do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man. Now you said when you were 15, that's when you kind of got into like the music. Take us from there.
Yeah, really, it started out. I was already, for fun, like by myself, I think I was maybe 13, 14, I had started writing. 'Cause at the time, if I'm being completely honest, a really big inspiration for me was Wiz Khalifa.
Okay.
And kind of, you know, I was smoking a lot of weed at the time.
Nice.
As a lot of us were back then in 07, you know, 06, 08, whatever
just
it was.
Just like the 70s, man. It was just...
Yeah. And it was, it was you know, How Fly... the mixtape with him and Currency came out, and then Kush and Orange Juice came out.
Oh yeah.
And it was just something. It was so different and so unique. And so to me, it's never been like a copycat kind of thing. It's always been like, I look at it like energy. Like if I listen to something and I get really inspired by it, I want to go do my own shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like it just, I want to compete with it almost. It's not like, oh, I'm going to try to do exactly what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, Wiz Khalifa was huge for me around the time I started out. I remember I was at the Blind Pig, if anybody from Michigan knows what I'm talking about, in Ann Arbor.
The Blind Pig.
If it's still open, they maybe had a max capacity of 150 people. And he packed that bitch out with like 400 people. And this was before people really knew who he was, except wow, like the hip hop heads online that were scouring the internet for good new stuff. But yeah, Kush and Orange Juice and just that time period. So I was already writing. And then, you know, smoking a lot of weed. A lot of my friends, most of my friends were. And I had this friend named Dan. Shout out to Dan. If you see this, we don't really chop it like that no more. But we would be in his basement. He had a studio. He's very musically inclined. He played drums, guitar, all that good stuff. And I used to record freestyles in his studio. Not even written, just, you know, going off the top. And maybe I would make a few tracks with some friends. And we would show it to our friends in high school.
Oh, damn.
And that's how it started. And I was just having a lot of fun. And then, you know, listening and kind of hearing my growth throughout that process and getting other people's feedback that like, yo, everybody else is trash, but like, mm-hmm, your shit is dope. Like, yeah, you should keep going. And like, even aside from that, I already wanted to do it. So, but yeah, that's kind of how it started. Just messing around in my homie's basement, just recording freestyles and, you know, writing bars to random beats off freestyle of YouTube. And yeah, love so it. It started out very raw.
Yeah,
like, as far as, you know, how I got into it.
Yeah, and so, when did you actually make your first actual official track that you wrote? And...
Well, it's a song that, you know, well, because there's kind of like the lines are kind of blurred. Like, you know, if we're talking about a song that I recorded in that basement that we like released, those don't really count. Because we didn't like put them out. We were just circulating them amongst our friends and whatnot.
Nice.
But when I first paid money to go to a studio by myself, I think I was 14 or 15. And it was a song called Take Your Pick. And it was so bad.
Like, oh my God.
Oh my God. I can hear it in my head. And I'm not going to sing it to you guys.
Like, I'm going to play it for you guys.
Just because I care about you guys. You know what I'm saying? I want you to tap in with this podcast and not leave. But yeah, that shit was so trash.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, from there.
Were you proud of it at the time, though, when you put it out?
I don't even know if I put it out, but I just remember having it. Maybe I did put it out on like SoundCloud or something.
Yeah.
But it was bad. But then after that, I met somebody. I was at a shoe boutique in Detroit or Wayne or somewhere like that. And I met somebody at the time, a producer, and I started chopping it with him. And then I ended up, you know, me and him started working for a few years. We put out some really good shit. People really loved it. They reacted well to it in Detroit. It was, you know, it was a fun time. Because I kind of got on this wave that I was not expecting, and I was really young at the time, so I was almost kind of taken back by it. But
especially
yeah,
at that age.
Yeah, I mean, I was like 17 years old. I put out this song called Blunts, Papers, and Bongs.
Nice.
It's actually, like, even to this day, it's still a really good song.
It's a bop.
I'm not going to let people know, like, you know, if they find it, if they know about it, if you know, you know.
It's not on Spotify?
It's not, no. But you can find it if you look for it. But, yeah, I was going by a different alias at the time and everything. But,
wow.
Yeah, I just kind of got caught on that wave. And I was just having so much fun for such a long time until... You know, it's just life kind of caught up with me, and you know, I just kind of fell back for a little bit. So
you got a regular job?
Yeah, I mean, originally, so I was working on music for many years, several years, and I moved across country to Carson City, Nevada at the time, because I was potentially looking at signing with a label over there, like a small label. And I had a homie over there, and he was an artist, and I packed up my Chevy Blazer at the time. It was like a 97 Chevy Blazer.
Nice.
Drove across the country by myself from Detroit all the way to Nevada. Just me, my shit stacked up so high that I couldn't see out the back mirror. And some weed.
And that's all you need.
That's all I had. It was amazing, like, to tell you the truth. It was like a transformative experience before I even knew what that was, you know, just to do that by myself.
Yeah.
My mom was like, you know, doubting me from home and stuff. She was
of
like,
course,
she was like,
yeah,
you're gonna come back. You're not gonna make it with this car. This car is gonna break down. And when you break down and you don't make it, you're coming back home. You're going back to school. And I said,
nope.
Mom, I love you. I'm not coming home.
Not going to happen.
So I made it out there. It just didn't feel right, the situation. And I think a lot of it had to do with me being by myself. I didn't really know fully who I was at the time. I was only 21 years old.
Yeah.
And like, some people, they know themselves completely at 21. For me, it just,
or at least,
like,
they think they do.
Right. Yeah. Like, I just wasn't there, and I just knew something was off, and I didn't know if it was me or whatever, just being by myself.
Just something was off.
Yeah. It just didn't feel like the right fit. So instead of going back home, I just moved a little bit further west to California. And I had some family there at the time. They let me stay with them until I got on my feet for a couple months. And then I stayed in California, started living my life, and just kind of got swept up in other shit.
Yeah.
And and then I met Nate. And
in LA?
In San Diego, okay. Oceanside. I was in North County, San Diego, for most of my time out there. I met him. We started making music, and it was going well, but. You know, I was still traveling to LA doing shows every weekend or so, and they were small shows, you know.
Yeah.
But I met my girl at the time. You know, things picked up with that. I had my son, and then that was the point where I was just like, you know, I just kind of lost sight of what I was doing. So
it'll do that to you, man. When you start a family, it kind of
puts
things on hold for a little bit.
Yeah, and it wasn't like. You know, oh, I don't want to do music anymore. I don't like this shit. Mm-hmm. It was just like I had so much going on that I was trying to, you know, I was trying to prepare to be a father and all this shit. And, you know, it was
a full-time job already.
Yeah, it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I kind of got to a place where I felt like this shit ain't going nowhere, you know. And I took, it must have been a year, maybe a year and a half or two off. And then it was Nate that, you know, without him, shout out to Nate for real. I know I've already said his name a couple times, but. If it wasn't for him, I don't know if I would have jumped back in, because he was the one hitting my phone every month, checking up on me. I mean, we were friends outside of music at that point. We were still hanging out and whatever. And he was like, bro, I'm sick of recording trash at the studio all the time. Like, you need to come back and you need to write some shit. We need to get to work. So, yeah, shout out to Nate.
He saw something in you, man.
Yeah, he was like the angel on my shoulder, man. Nice. He was like, you know, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Like, you know, you can't just give up. So
that's good.
That was,
man,
huge.
Yeah. It's good to have people like that around you.
Yeah, even if it's just one.
Yeah.
You know?
That's all you need.
And when you're somebody who believes in, like, you know, a higher power or whatever it is, you know, just one person like that can mean a lot, because you're like, well, can't be for no reason that this guy is, you know, on my ass about this. You know what I'm saying?
This is what he does. Like,
yeah.
And he he obviously sees something in you that you don't see in yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, even it's tricky too, because like, I never lacked confidence in my music or my abilities, but just the lack of traction, or like the lack of blowing up, or whatever it was, that, you know, you get this idea that it's going to be an overnight thing.
You have these expectations that...
Right.
Yeah.
So when that didn't happen, it's just, you know, the self-doubt creeps in, and not about my ability to make music, but just about like, is this ever going to happen? Am I doing this for no reason? You know what I'm saying?
Do you still feel that way sometimes?
So to be honest with you, I've gotten to the point where like, I just, you know, I used to tussle back and forth with myself about it. Like, oh, maybe I should just give this shit up. Like, nothing's happening, blah, blah, blah. But then it got to the point where I just, you know, I got really spiritual in California, just looking within and just having a lot of quiet time, just learning a lot, reading a lot, and just kind of figuring out who I was. And I just realized that I'm an artist, you know what I mean? So like, it doesn't matter if one person hears my song, or 50,000 people hear my song, or 5 million or whatever it is, I have an incessant desire to create, you know what I'm saying? So
it's a creative process.
Right. So once I realized that, and I kind of, you know, made that determination about myself, like the stress, and like, it feels like I cut a bunch of cords that were holding me back, or dropped weight, because at that point I was just like, it doesn't matter anymore whether I'm famous or I'm not or whatever, because I've never been one that was like, oh, I want to be famous. I just want to support myself with my art, you know. But even if I can't do that, I know that I'm still gonna make music. So that just took a lot of weight off of my back, and made the creative process light again, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because when you're in the studio, it's just you and the engineer, and it's like, why are we doing this, you know, for myself? Like, what? But then when you get those comments, it's like, bro, like, your music touched me. Like, I was listening to it one day, and it just got me through something. You know, it's those kind of comments that just keep you going.
Yeah, and like on Instagram, you know, when random people would be posting my music or just DMing me talking about like certain songs that got them through, like, one of my people on Instagram, he knows who he is, but he hit me when the Spotify Wrapped shit dropped. You know how everybody has like their breakdown of what they listen to, how much they listen to it.
Yeah.
And my song Vanish, one of the videos that we shot, was like his number one song that he listened to for the year. Yeah, and he was like, bro, I just want you to know that I was hating my job all year, and I was listening to this song in my job, or like before my job every day. And I was just like, you know, that shit gave me chills. Yeah. You know? So like,
that kind of impact.
No matter how big or how small, like, that's what I do it for. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Other than to satisfy my urges to create something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously you want to be self-fulfilling, but at the same time, it's like you don't know the impact that you're having on the world.
No.
Until you get those kind of comments and feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's a good impact to have. I know I've said it before, like, your songs kind of resonate with me a little bit. Because I've kind of gone through the entrepreneurial journey a little bit, and it's kind of like, I always knew that there was this inner beast within me.
Right.
That I just needed to let it out. And
felt like you were dying at your job, right? That's
how I've always felt. It was soul-crushing.
Yeah, it was soul-crushing. Like, slowly but surely. Have you ever seen the movie Soul, the Disney movie?
Yeah, yeah.
It's that just like shit, that. Man, that shit encapsulated it so perfectly.
It
like
did.
Like, 22, when she's, you know, she can't find her spark. And then she's off in the land of the lost souls or whatever. And then they're like, you know, they have these little vortexes where they can peer into people that are lost souls in the 3D world or whatever. And they're like, you know, stockbrokers, like, typing away at their job or whatever. And then as soon as they, you know, their soul finds their body or whatever, all of a sudden they're like,
they click.
This shit doesn't matter.
They click.
They're like throwing their computers. They're like, everybody, like, let's go. Let's fucking go. You know what I'm saying? That's how I felt every day. So... you know, but you have to do what you have to do. So, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's like that. That's not really the reason why you do it. You know, it's kind of like you said, it's like self-fulfilling almost. Like,
yeah.
You have this inner urge to create.
Yeah.
Like, I know I did. You know, like, I just have to create, you know, and even at my old job, like when I actually had a job, It was like I always found like little creative things to do. Like whenever the department was having something and we had to create a poster between the whole department, they would put me in charge of it because I was the most creative one in the department. Mm-hmm. It was just like I would get to create something and I would get to flex my creative muscle. And that feeling to me was like, I want that.
Right.
I want that to be the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want that to be my purpose. And yeah, it has been since then.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing more gratifying than it, you know. Whatever it is that makes you feel that way, you know what I'm saying? Like they said in Soul, your spark, there's nothing better than being able to chase that every day.
Yeah, man. So. And you have a good support system, man. You have a good wife. You have.
Yeah, I'm blessed for sure. Yeah. Sometimes I get caught up in the loop of, you know, feeling like, you know, I guess maybe it's the tightrope you walk as an artist. That's mm-hmm. like borderline narcissism.
A little bit, yeah.
It is. Like, it's like, I saw this meme, and it was like a Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. And it was like, on this circle over here was crippling self-doubt, right? And the other one was complete and utter narcissism. And
right in the middle.
Right in the middle. That's where art is created, right?
Wow.
It's kind of wild,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, that's good.
So I kind of get caught up in the loop of, like, you know, oh, if I had a team around me, if I had people that believed in me the way I believe in myself, like, this shit would go crazy because, like, I've never, like, at this point, you know, in the past few years that I've been making music as, you know, who I am right now, I've never made a bad song. I know my ability. I know that if I can just get my music to people, to get it, you know, in front of people, that it's undeniable. So sometimes it gets a little discouraging if you allow it to, just to kind of have those reminders that, like, fuck, I'm still right here, you know what I'm saying? But that's where you're supposed to be, so
until you're not,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, you get that big break.
Yeah. And I mean, like, just being here with you, like, that's another example of me honoring that side of myself.
Yeah,
because, like, you know, you could have hit me up and I could have been like, nah, you know, good. Like, nah, shit ain't really popping right now, bro. Like, you know, maybe in a few years or something. But no, like, you know, that's something that really had to grow within me too, because I've never been like a big in front of the camera type of person. Like, that's me just either. Not my thing. Yeah. But, like,
I'm best behind the camera.
Right. And I'm best, like, coming through the speakers. Yeah. That's how I feel. But I know that, you know, you have to make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. You have to compromise if you want to get where you're trying to go. So, and like we were talking about earlier,
before we started,
it's either the pain of growth or the pain of complacency. And, like, people like you and I, we choose the pain of growth.
Yeah, because we know what's on the other side, man.
Exactly.
We know what it's like to go through that and then reap the rewards of that pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then also the other side of that coin, that's something that I can't bear. You know what I'm saying? I would rather go balls to the walls and die.
Yeah, like, and fail completely, miserably, then not try at all.
Then to not try and just live this mediocre existence. I say on Whoa, I say my worst fear is ending up average. Like, that's legit. Like, I don't fear shit. I don't fear death. I don't fear anything like that. But being complacent and average and not making an impact, like, I'm afraid of that.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you only get one shot here, man.
Right.
You want to make the most of it.
People like to say, like, oh, it's a cliche, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just like people say it a lot because it's true.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
All cliches have some truth behind
them. Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's just because it's real.
Yeah.
You know? You either do it or you don't.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. What? So what, I know after you made your first couple tracks, when was your first album? I know you were still in LA at the time, right?
So
in California.
I worked on most of it in Oceanside with Nate. And at the time we were just at his home studio, which was dope as hell. Like, he carved it out and built it at his house. Recorded most of it there. If not, no, we recorded all of it before I left because I was moving to Florida. And then the post-production process was all done while I was here, which was kind of difficult
because remote.
we were just going back and forth with like emails and notes and turn this up, you know, lower the reverb here, you know, go back and do this, do that. And it was a delicate, involved, lengthy and tedious process. But that one, the Spiral is what that album was called, and that's the one that we shot the first video with 111 and Vanish. And that came out
twofer.
September. Yeah, that came out in September of 2020.
That was a good one.
It was.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I was really excited about that because it was like, you know, I felt like 111 was just such like a in-your-face, like, if you're a hip-hop head, you hear that and you're just like, oh, shit, he's going crazy, you know? But then if they stuck around for Vanish, then, you know, you could kind of see the deeper side, and that was a fun video.
You're really big on symbolism too, man. I know the 111 stands for the length of the song. It's the minute 11 song.
Yeah, and then manifestation, you know, because I got really big into numerology just along my kind of spiritual path, if you want to call it that. You know, I don't want to say I'm like getting away from that now, but in the beginning, it's just you're like a kid in a candy store. You're like, oh shit, this is, you're unraveling all this
numbers
stuff.
Numbers are everywhere.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah, and it's amazing. And you know, I was just so big into it, and that's where my name comes from. You know, Tate, the Tate. If you look at my logo, like we could get a sticker right now.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, the T is the two ones and the eight, right? Because when I got big into numerology, like 11 and 8 were kind of the numbers that got me into it. Because 11 is basically like manifestation, and then 8 is obviously like infinity or forever, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's where that came from.
Okay.
And then koan, there's a few different definitions of it, but you know, really the gist of it is that it's like a paradoxical anecdote or riddle that teaches you know, like Zen Buddhists and monks to abandon logical reasoning and provoke enlightenment.
Wow.
And I wasn't looking for this name.
Yeah, I didn't
like
know that.
I was just like, you know, it was back when I was gonna get back into making music, and I was like, I just want to reinvent myself. I just want to cut the cords of all this shit from the past and just start fresh. And then that shit just kind of slapped me in my face. And as soon as I came up with the logo, and just from a branding perspective, I was like, you know, it's very impressionable.
That's it, yeah.
And it was just, it was divine, like the way it came to me. But yeah, numerology was big for me around that time.
Not anymore.
It's not that it's not. It's just I just learned so much already that, like, you know, and I learned, you know, a lot about sacred geometry and all that good stuff and how it's all intertwined. So now I'm just like trying to take the things that I learn and implement them into real life, not so much just like be in awe of what I'm learning, because I got caught up in that, you know, and I wasn't implementing. So now I'm just like, I got this stuff, you know, I got this knowledge, and it's accrued over time.
Nice.
And now I'm trying to, you know, go out and use it, you know.
Yeah, all the stuff that you've accumulated over the years.
Yeah, but I'm still learning. I still read my books, and I love reading books. And you know, it's right now it's my second time around reading the Four Agreements, but that's just like a staple. But you know, as far as like
what is it? Four Agreements.
The Four Agreements. Yeah,
I'm gonna read that.
It's a good one. I want to say it's Don Miguel Ruiz. I could be mistaken, or something like that. That's his name, but I'm probably butchering it. But yeah, it's just about four agreements that you can apply to your life that'll change it forever. And it's the first one is, let me test my knowledge here, be impeccable with your word. The second one is don't take anything personal. The third one is don't make assumptions. And the fourth one is always do your best. And it's just kind of like an extensive look at those four agreements and how you can apply them to your life, and you know, how it'll translate for you in terms of success and just quality of relationships and different stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Wow. So, yeah, I gotta read that.
Yeah,
but I'm all about that.
Yeah, I think my favorite one that I've ever read was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, however you say that. That one was like probably the book that changed my life the most.
Yeah,
just talking about making the most of the present moment. And it sounds really cheesy when you just, you know, envelope it like that, or just, you know, put it in a short term, but yeah, it just, it goes really deep in as far as, you know, just doing the best that you can to live in the present moment, live in the now, and not suffer from, you know, the past or the future.
Yeah.
Which most of us do. Yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah. That's where depression and anxiety come from. Right. It's from the past.
And that's why I got this tattoo right here.
Nice.
It's the clock that says now. It's I'm now. Like in the camera, I feel weird. Yeah. I'm like, but yeah. So yeah, I've definitely had a journey in California. I just kinda learned a lot about myself, and that's kinda propelled me to where I'm at now, which, like, you know, I don't even want to say, just from, for example, like the first agreement, be impeccable with your word. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say something like I'm not where I want to be because I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, my ego wants me to be somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to fall into being okay with
just
where I'm
just be okay
at.
With how it comes to pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big corny, term and spirituality that everybody grips onto when they've barely grazed, you know, into it is the law of attraction and whatnot, right?
Nice.
But the big proponent of that is you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are, right? So
in order to attract something different, you have to become something different.
Exactly. So yeah. Like you call experiences to you that are on a like frequency, or, you know, resonating at a
frequency
where
frequency.
You're at. Exactly. Yeah. So it's not like you close your eyes and you pray and you say, oh, I want a big house and a big car and or a nice car and, you know, all this shit. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work that way.
You hope for it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you pray, like, and I'm no disrespect to those who yeah. pray, but, yeah, you gotta show your higher power, whatever that is, that, you know, you're ready for it.
I believe a lot in manifesting, man, because sometimes when you put something out into the world, it kind of forces you to be accountable for it.
Yeah.
Kind of. So when you put something out into the world, like, I'm putting this out into the world now, I'm getting an Oscar one mm-hmm. day. So
right.
I'm manifesting that, right? Mm-hmm. So one day I'm going to keep working until I get that.
Really cool story. So I'm sure you've seen it because it's just huge circulating on social media these days. But Jim Carrey, like, I don't know, it was maybe like 20 years ago or whatever. Before he did Dumb and Dumber, mm-hmm. he wasn't really like a famous actor at the time, or he was getting like little roles in Hollywood and whatnot.
Like just barely getting into
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then he wrote this $10 million check and he put it in his wallet, right? And, you know, to himself. And then he would just take it out and look at it and, you know, just, you know, basically own it that it was mm-hmm. his. And then he got Dumb and Dumber. And sure as shit, it was $10 million.
Wow.
That they gave him. So, you know, crazy shit like that.
Yeah. I like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he's...
He has a lot of manifestation and a lot of, like, mental... You know, it's like you project what you want to see in the world.
Yeah, you can tell he's going through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's more evident than others.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
he's going through the journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, nobody's perfect, and people are, you know, people always want to clown somebody before they understand somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If they're different than you, your automatically reaction is like, they're weird.
Right.
You know, like,
exactly. Yeah. Just to make them feel better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like you're, I think it's just, you're trying to have them be like you. So it's like you're projecting your insecurities onto mm-hmm. whoever. Yeah.
Human nature, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Negativity bias. Yeah. That's a big thing in the human brain.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I forgot who was saying it, but they were talking about how it takes no effort to be negative, right? To think shitty thoughts, to have a bad day, to get stuck in a rut, to be depressed. It takes no effort at all. But to do something positive with your life, to make your days positive, it takes a lot of effort. You know what I mean?
You got to work on it.
You do.
Yeah. It doesn't just come.
No.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, throw it up there and just hope.
Yeah.
Hope it, you know, rains money.
Cross your fingers. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you got to hit it hard, man.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, a lot of these things that I've held on to and learned over the years, and that I recite to people and, you know, just try to put out there. It's really me talking to myself. And that's the same thing with my music. Like a lot of the songs that...
I was going to say, your art is pretty much a reflection of yourself, you know?
Yeah, a lot of...
It's a way of expression, self-expression.
Yeah, a lot of the songs that I've written, I can listen to them today still. And, like I don't listen to my own shit that much. But if I'm in a certain mood or, like, I'm by myself and I'm driving at 1 a.m., like, just going through something, like, it'll fuck me up. I'll cry because I'll be like, damn, it's like, it's crazy that, like, I wrote this for myself, like, not even knowing it at the time. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, The Spiral was just, it's kind of a dark album. It's not, like, violent or, like, you know, shit like that. But I was definitely in such a dark place in my life when I wrote that album. And I was, like, writing myself out of a hole. As I wrote and wrote and wrote, I could see the light, you know what I'm saying? And then you get something light after that.
Nice.
Just to kind of, I wanted to have more fun, and I was ready to just, like, kind of engage with people in a different way.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I did what I had to do on that last record.
On the other one, yeah.
Yeah, to just, like, kind of rip off, you know, all that old shit that I was carrying with me.
I actually had a podcast a couple episodes ago with a guy named Focus, and he was talking about that process, that creative process. It's almost like when you're going through something, you want to put that overwhelming emotion, you want to get it out of your head, you know? And then sometimes when you write a song, that emotion gets encapsulated into this word or into this phrase, and it's like you're almost externalizing your emotions a little bit.
Yeah, I've definitely felt victim to depression, anxiety.
As we all,
See my shirt.
Nice.
This is for everybody else. I want y'all to see this.
Read it. Yeah.
You are bigger than what is making you anxious.
You gotta show me the back.
Yeah, the back is, what does it say? Your anxiety is lying to you.
Your anxiety is lying to you.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm wearing this for y'all, but I wear it for myself too.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like I was telling you earlier, this was the shirt that I wore in the Vanish video, and I don't think I've ever worn it since. What was I saying though? Oh yeah, so definitely many times, even to this day, I can get caught in that loop of anxiousness, depression. And what I've learned is that when you get into those predicaments and, you know, you're spiraling, more often than not, it's your inner being telling you that whatever you're doing is not working.
Something wrong, yeah.
Right. You have to fucking put the shovel down and climb out. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever you're doing right now is not working. It's not like something's wrong with you or you can't come out of it. It's just your inner being, your higher self, telling you, look, bro, like, you're doing the same thing every day, and I'm trying to tell you that this is not the way.
It's not, yeah.
So you need to switch it up. You got to do something wrong. Different.
Yeah.
So.
You struggle with depression a lot?
Not so much anymore. It's interesting, though. I've noticed there's quite a correlation between when I'm working on music and when I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't have that avenue to express myself and I'm not actively exercising it, I can kind of fall into that loop.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of acting on it or not. Like, are you being active? Are you going after the things that you want? Are you doing what makes you happy? Or are you just, you know, in my case, are you just, you know, being a dad, doing the bare minimum, watching basketball games at night?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a loop that I can fall in real easy. You know what I'm saying? So,
but at least you realize it.
Yeah,
for sure. You're conscious of it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what life is. Like, that was the concept of the album, The Spiral. It was like, I don't know when it happened exactly, but hundreds of years ago, people started to look at time as if it was linear, right? But, you know, if you look at the album cover, it's just that big never-ending spiral
loop,
right? And the idea is that the same experiences, the same energies, whatever, they always are going to come back to you, and they're just always opportunities for you to proceed differently, to do something different than you did before. Because, like, you know, in spirituality, or just in my spirituality particularly, just learning about myself and kind of trying to figure out what this whole thing called life is about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, school to me, never liked it. And that's putting it modestly. I hated school.
We've talked about that in the podcast before. It's like the school system kind of teaches people to just be employees. Right. It doesn't teach how to be expressive, mm-hmm. creative, anything like that.
See, but I think the real school is life, you know?
Yeah.
Because like you
teach you the harshest lessons.
You get this spiral of experiences, and the way that you deal with them, you know, the way that you respond, whether it be managing your emotions better, you know, doing different things just to try to come out better than you did the previous time, whatever it is, those are opportunities for ascension, you know? And they can really, life, I think, is really about creating momentum. And if you're able to recognize that, and when this repeated pattern, this cycle comes back to you, if you're conscious enough to pay attention and know, okay, I've seen this before, and I saw how it played out mm-hmm. based on what I did previously. What can I do differently to ascend, to go up to the next level, to get to the next grade?
Change the cycle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So life is a school to me. Wow,
that's deep, man.
I mean, I'm sure I'm not the first one who said that's just kind of how I see it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I saw in one of your videos too. You guys were talking about how most of the millionaires in the world, they didn't graduate from even high school.
Yeah,
definitely didn't go to college. I mean, I know some of them did. I'm not, you know, being finite in my description here, but it just goes to show you that, you know, really you put your mind to it. So I said on now on the spiral, it's the opening track of the spiral. I said thoughts, words, and actions. That's my holy trinity, right? Because like you can think something, you can want something, you can have dreams, right? But if you can even speak it too, but if you don't act on it, those things just, they mean nothing.
Yeah,
they don't mean anything, right? So you think about what you want, you speak it, and then you act on it. And that's kind of the trifecta that can really create that momentum.
Manifestation.
I mean, you know just as well as I do. I mean, you know better than I do. Look at, you know, I'm definitely proud of you, bro. Like, because when we started out, you know, you were just doing your little freelance videography type shit, and now it's turned into...
Yeah, you kind of caught me in the beginning, man. We shot that first video. I think that was my third or fourth music video that I ever did.
Yeah.
But, I want to thank you for giving me that opportunity, man. I guess you saw something in me that...
Honestly, you know? It was just your... You know, because we did, if I'm not mistaken, we did the... did we do the Skype call before the first video?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just your energy. The because, vibe. Like, yeah, I just, you know... I hate to say it, not to be negative, but, you know, some people just fucking suck to work with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I could tell just like the...
Especially in a collaborative project like this. You kind of want somebody that matches the vibe, that kind of...
Yeah.
That and understands it.
I've noticed like a lot of people these days, like, it's almost like dating, right? You start the talking phase, mm-hmm. right? Which I've been with the same girl for 8 years. Like,
nice.
So I'm just, you know, speculating here. But you go into the talking phase, right? And you're texting or whatever the case is. And, you know, maybe you occasionally go out and whatever. But if you text too much, or you, you know, open up and you make yourself too vulnerable, the door just might slam. It just might be over. And why is that? Because the other person has not met themselves where you're trying to meet them, right? And it's almost like that when you're going into a collaborative process with like a videographer or a producer or someone new. You start talking and then like maybe you're just excited about what you're talking about and you send a long ass paragraph and then they're like, they don't respond. And it's like, what is that about?
Yeah.
What is that about? You know what I'm saying? So like, that's what I felt with you, is that like, it was just like, you know, I could be myself. I didn't have to put on a show to make you want to work with me.
Yeah.
You know, like I could say whatever the fuck was on my mind and we were still going to get shit done.
Genuine.
Yeah. So that meant a lot to me. And like one day, like sometime soon, like I have a vision that, you know, I'm going to be able to drop fucking 10 bands on a video to do with you.
Hell yeah.
Because like that's how I see it. You know, I just...
We rise together, man.
As long as I'm here and you're in the proximity where I can get to you, I'm Blue Box for life, bro.
Nice.
Facts. That's it.
I appreciate that, man.
I told you that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that shit.
It's good to have it on record.
Cut that shit.
What brought you to Tampa, man? Why, or at least the Florida? Why Florida?
Well, we were, my girl and I were just kind of getting a little worn out as far as like
Like
raising our
LA
son.
or in California? I keep saying
Yeah,
LA.
just raising our son by ourselves. And like, I know for some people that's normal or whatever, but like, you know, it takes a village, they
It
say,
does.
right? And you know, just as the years went on, because we had him for 4 years out in California before we moved here. And we were just looking for more, you know, more of that family environment. We just wanted more support around us because, you know, I think for him too, just for him to know his family more
Yeah, family
and to
down here.
get, yeah, and to get that different love. Like, you
Gotcha.
know, the way I love my son is different than my mom loves him. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like, she
It's
loves him
different.
on a different level.
Yeah,
You
it's
know what I mean?
different.
Like, for me, I got to be that disciplinarian. I'm trying to shape him and make sure, you know, not shape him too much, but just make sure that, like, you know, at least he knows how to get through
Just
life and
keeping him on
everything like
track,
that. It's
yeah.
very important. So sometimes my job can be a little bit serious, whereas grandma or Gia, she don't like to be called grandma, but her job is just to spoil him rotten. That's what she thinks, you know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? And it's just a different kind of
It's
love.
different energy, yeah.
Yeah, so we you know, I had some family out here, and it was really about him. And then when the bullshit started in
Yeah.
about March of 2020, it was just a further kick in the ass to make it happen.
You gotta do
So
something, yeah.
yeah, we just didn't want to be there anymore. It was like a horrible apocalypse movie. People were
Jesus.
tripping balls, and you know, like we would go outside, bro. And like, 'cause you know, we're outdoorsy people. We want to go walk in the canyons. We want to go to the park, take the
Yeah, go
dog out,
hiking,
do whatever
yeah.
the hell we want to do. When all this shit was hitting the news and people were not going outside, we were the only people outside.
On the
There
trail.
were no cars on the
Oh my
road.
God.
It was like a ghost town. It was creepy as hell. We pull up to a park and they got the yellow tape at the park.
Oh my
And
God.
I'm like starting to trip. I'm like, this is not real, right? Like, this is some shit out of a movie. If you've ever heard of or seen the concept trailer of The Gray State, you know what I'm talking about. But we pull up to this park, there's yellow tape, and I'm just like,
Like, what is this?
this ain't happening. So we go out to the park and we're playing soccer on the grass, just on the grass. There's nobody around us. Within like 5 minutes, a cop comes up and tells us that we can't be at the park. And I'm like tripping. I'm just like,
What is happening?
this ain't
Yeah.
it,
You can't
bro.
even go to the freaking park.
No. You, like, at least make it make sense. That's how I
Yeah.
am. Like, I'm a very critical thinker, and if
Yeah.
something makes sense, then that's fine. But if you're gonna tell me I can't be outside and breathe fresh air with my family who I live with, something's wrong. You know what I'm
Yeah. I
saying?
mean, I
So,
can be unmasked at the house. Why can't I be unmasked with the family outside?
like I said, I don't want to alienate your
In the
viewers,
beginning,
bro.
yeah, no, in the beginning, everybody was freaking out, man. Nobody knew what the hell was going on. So I was like, there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah, but I mean, go outside and breathe fresh air,
Yeah.
bro. Sometimes, you know, that's the best move.
Yeah.
Gets, you know, help your brain think a little more
Yeah.
clearly, you know.
Yeah, for me, the outdoors is more therapeutic than anything, man. Especially living here in Florida, like going to the beaches and just
Yeah.
hiking and
You would
just.
love California,
Oh,
bro.
yeah.
That's one of the things I miss the most about California is just the wildlife, the nature, like the mountains, the canyons, being able to like go barefoot in the grass and it's soft and
Yeah.
like, you know, just grounding like that.
Yeah.
Where here it's like, you know,
You
the
can't do
grass is a
that.
little prickly. There's some
Yeah.
fire ants that might bite your ass.
There's humidity.
Yeah, it's different, but
Yeah.
I mean, it's a give and take. So, and
Yeah.
I'm here, so
Yeah.
there's your answer.
Yeah, there you
Yeah, so
go. So I must have outweighed, all the negatives.
was a lot. It was a lot
Yeah.
to consider. I remember we were at Costco when shit started popping off, and we're keeping cool, you know, like we're just like, 'cause we think how we think. I'm not gonna go into it, but and no, I did not vote for Trump. No, I'm not a Trump supporter, so don't try to correlate the two. I don't vote, period, just to let you know. And I'm sure people will think I'm an idiot for that too. That's cool, to each his own. But anyway, we're at Costco and there's this fucking line out of Costco, like going all the way to the damn street with people with their carts. And we're just like, this is crazy. So we're going inside and people are literally like frantically running around. Like there's this old lady, she was probably about 60. And she was like crying hysterically. And she was like, where do I get water? Like, where do I get water? And I just like looked at her and like, I don't know, something came over me in that moment, and I was like, excuse me. I was like, do you need a hug? And she was like, and think about everything that's going on, yeah, supposedly, right? And she said yes, and I hugged her, and she's just crying on my shoulder. And her husband's like in the store somewhere.
She's having like a panic attack.
Yeah, and I was just like trying to be like that calming presence, because like I could just look in people's eyes and they were just not there anymore. The fear had just taken over, you know what I'm saying? And you remember the mask from the Vanish video? Yeah. It said fear is the real killer, right? Yep. So, and then later that same trip at Costco, they came back around at one point, and her husband walked up to me and he was like, I just want to say thank you for what you did, hugging my wife, like calming her down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, sometimes I was like, motherfucker, need. That's your job.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be the one calming her down. Turn off the TV and give her a hug.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there was a whole lot of crazy shit going on. But
dude, that's
we're happy to be here. I mean, we drove across the country, made a trip out of it. It was like a mini vacation.
Nice.
Just staying in different hotels and exploring places we've never been. So it was a cool experience.
That's cool. I actually did that trip, but backwards. I actually did it from here all the way up to California and then up to Washington, because my brother actually moved to Washington. So
yeah,
when he did, he just packed up all his stuff in his van and we just went on a road trip.
Yeah, I think we may have talked about that before.
Yeah,
you said, I remember you saying you did the reverse or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was a fun trip, man. We saw a lot of touristy stuff on the way, and it was, I don't know, it was a little bit transformative too, man, because you get to see all these different places, all these different, you know, like the country kind of changes as you go, you know,
yeah.
At least from here to there, it's kind of like green to more orangey to more like, you know, and I'm sure you saw the reverse coming here.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And the weather changed for sure too.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
How long did it take you?
I think with all the stays and stuff and just the relaxing we did in between, I think it was like 6 days, maybe.
Oh, that's not
seven
bad.
Days, 7 days, I think, something
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Not bad.
Yeah. We overnighted at a bunch of hotels and
nice.
Yeah, we just made it.
It's
like
a nice road trip.
It was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was because when I did it, from Michigan to the West Coast, I'm trying to think of what freeway it is that I took, but it goes through, you know, like Chicago. I want to say it's like, I'm not gonna guess because I'll be wrong, but it kind of goes like a little more north, and yeah, there was a lot of cool shit on that trip too. So I kind of got to see, like, you know, the upper middle and then the lower middle and south. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. You gotta get out there and see the country, man. This country is amazing.
Yeah, I that's another thing for me is like, as an artist, you want to get that inspiration, and a lot of it comes from just going out and seeing the world.
Experiences, yeah.
Yeah, and like with the way things are right now, it's kind of sad because, you know, like I want to go to Europe, you know, but, you know, who?
It's kind of limited a little
what
bit.
What that's like and
yeah.
what it looks like getting there and the logistics of it. They're not the same as they were 3 years ago.
You got to quarantine, you got to do all this shit.
Yep,
yeah,
exactly. So, and a lot of those things I don't support.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough. It's kind of hard to believe sometimes that, you know, this is how we're living, but
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. You keep it pushing.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about, you know, turn that shit off and just live your life and you'll be surprised, you know, it'll just be whatever you're creating, you know? So.
Yeah. I know we were talking about it earlier, how in the beginning of the pandemic, I was kind of like, it was a bit toxic because I just turned on the news and it was just nonstop and my anxiety was off the charts. Like it was wild.
Yeah.
It was a wild time. And it is, man. It's toxic. Like when you surround yourself with negativity, it kind of eats away at you a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like it takes a little bit of a piece of your soul almost.
Well, I mean, it just takes away your attention from whatever positive shit you want to do for yourself, you know? And it can make you feel like, oh, the world is ending, so there's no point in me doing anything. And it can paralyze you.
You can get into this rut, like this hole that they want you in, kind of.
There's no point.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no point. Just live your life, you know?
No.
That's why I'm glad I live in Florida.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah,
that's funny the way that people talk about us out here.
Or yeah.
The way that people talk about Floridians in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always the outsiders.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but y'all come here for vacation, though. But you vacation here, though, so that's confusing, but all right.
Yeah, it's a double standard.
It is.
It's interesting that they make fun of us, but it's like,
I love the people here.
Yeah.
You know, like Michigan was cool. You know, I spent, you know, 21 years there growing up and everything, and it's home. And it's definitely, you know, I get a different feel when I go there. But in California, it was just kind of uptight for me. It seemed like everybody's competing.
Yeah.
You know, even on the fucking freeway, you're driving and like, so people think it's Mario Kart and like they're getting over on you. And I'm like sitting in my car and I'm like, bro, I don't know you from a can of paint. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're going. Yeah. So if you want to go, go.
Just go,
It took a while, though. It took a couple years for me to, like, fall back because I used to get pissed off. And I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you cutting me off with no blinker? Why are you brake checking for no reason? Like, you know, shit like that. But I just kind of, like, it made me dial it back. And then I came here and people are, like, more that speed. But you do get the crazy motherfuckers on the road out here. I'm not gonna bullshit. You either get, like, people that are chill for the most part on the road, or they're out of their fucking road mind, batshit. Yeah. But they're, you know, they're few and far between. Yeah.
It's Florida.
Mm-hmm. So.
All these news stories about Florida, the Florida man, and you and I are Florida men now.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, I'm like, well, I mean, anybody can be the Florida man if they're on meth, you know? So, you know, I wouldn't know what that's like, but I'm sure it's quite a journey.
It happens a lot here, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But I love it here. I do.
Yeah. I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right now, no. Yeah, like Tampa, St. Pete, even down where you're at, like Bradenton, Brandon, all that area. It's just cool. This whole area is just exploding.
Yeah.
It's exploding.
I wish it wasn't. In a certain respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going a little
bit. A little ruined.
It's getting a little crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but it's good for business, though, you know?
True. More eyes.
Yeah, more people, more bodies, eyes, more money, yeah.
Yeah, I get it. But just from, like, a wanting to buy a house perspective. And, yeah,
the real estate market is going crazy down here.
It's in the fucking shitter, bro. Like, yeah, I mean, it's such a bad time to sell. And or is it a good time to sell? I'm sorry.
It's a good time to sell.
Yeah,
bad
but
time
then
to buy.
Where are you going
to
go? Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Like, if you sell, you're just going to have to keep moving north or something,
I had family. I have family in Michigan selling their house, and I'm like, that's a beautiful house. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
And, you know, shit.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people are doing that up north and then just coming down here, because the money up there is worth a lot more than it is down here. So it's like they sell up there, they get millions of dollars or whatever for their like one room condo, and then they come down here and buy this huge house for like nothing.
But it's always been like that for me, and I always thought that was funny, just how the game works, if you will, that, you know, a renter will pay more than a nice mortgage. You know, it's just more evidence just of how things are so fucked up. You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
It's wild for sure.
So what's next for you, man? What's on the horizon for Take Koan?
Well, I was telling you earlier, I just got my whole setup, going as far as like home recording, and it's bare minimum, you know. Nice. I'm just tracking myself. I'll be able to send my vocals out to Nate and, maybe do some features too. But yeah, I want to get in more of a bag where I'm just in the flow and dropping shit more regularly.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I've dropped two albums, I mean, it's 20 songs combined. You know, the first album's 9 songs. Something Light was 11 songs. I just want to put more out there. I want my catalog to be so big and undeniable to the point where, like, people can go to my Spotify and just get lost and just be like, okay, I'm looking for a bad song at this point.
Yeah.
And then, like, so in your face to the point where, like, they have to share. Like, they, you know, the word of mouth has to be crazy, because it's like, this guy has like 75 songs on Spotify and not one is a miss. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I know I'm capable of.
Yeah.
So I just want to get to that point where the production, the, you know, as far as like creativity and getting stuff out is
consistency
just,
too, man.
Exactly.
You stay consistent.
Yeah. And even on social media,
like,
I'm not good
at
that.
It before is the momentum. You got to build that momentum and then it'll just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you show whatever you believe in, that this is what you want, and you're working towards it every day, shit gets out of your way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just how it goes.
It really does.
And I feel like I haven't been in that position where I've been going 110%. And, you know, I sometimes can get caught up in the regret of just wishing that I was recording myself 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's...
Don't get caught up in that, though,
comparison is the thief of joy, you know? So, like, you know, you'll be Googling artists to see how old they are, and you're like, fuck, man, this guy is fucking 25 and whatever.
If I would have started when he started.
Exactly. You know, but you can't do that. Yeah, because, like, and then I think about it, too, and if I reflect on it, I realize that when I was that age, I wasn't ready, you know? Like, because it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I know what I was going through, mm-hmm. and, like, when I was leaving Michigan and, you know, working on music in Detroit and everything I was doing, I was in a very dark place because I didn't know who I was, and I was just, you know, dealing with all these different energies that I had no clue what the hell was going on. I was not in touch with, you know, my higher power, or any of that. And so I just was very vulnerable, and I didn't feel, like, strong at the time. But as time has gone on, and I realized, like, you know, it was something saving me, because if I would have gotten thrown into those situations at that young age, I was not ready. And now I'm ready.
Like, yeah.
If something pops off now, I know who I am, mm-hmm. and I can handle whatever comes my way. You know what I'm saying? But when I was 22, even 23, 24, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So
it's part of the journey, man. You had to go through that to get to where you are today.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's just a matter of monitoring those thoughts, you know, kicking out the bad ones, being the observer, making sure that, you know, you're entertaining. You're entertaining the right shit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what you think about, what you pay attention to, you know, comes to be most of the time. So
yeah, and that again goes back to the manifesting. So
mm-hmm. and it's that, remember that Venn diagram?
Yeah.
Crippling self-doubt, absolute narcissism, and
right in the middle.
Great art is right in the middle. Yeah. It is. So you gotta check yourself on both sides.
Yeah. You can't go to one side or the other too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as long as you keep it real with yourself, as long as you're always checking yourself, I mean, I think that's something that's really cool that I'm able to do is, you know, you're either a good person or you're not, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they don't give a fuck, you know what I mean? But like for me personally, I won't sleep well at night if I'm not doing right by other people, if I'm not trying to, you know, do the right thing, look out for people, help others, love others, shit like that. So, you know, a lot of people think that's soft. They think it's weak. But, you know, that's just the way a lot of us operate.
It comes across.
I won't be able to lay my head down at night and rest when I finally do, because I'm a night owl, but I won't be able to if I don't live that way, you know? So.
Cool, man. So I think that's where we're going to end it. We've been recording for like an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been an hour and 7 minutes.
That's crazy. That flew by. That's wild.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does. I was enjoying myself for sure.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you for joining me. Where can people find your stuff?
Everywhere. I don't want to say those words that everybody else says.
Available on all streaming platforms. All streaming platforms.
Yeah, no. But yeah, everywhere.
My social media.
You've been trying to push me to get on TikTok.
And, yeah, man.
You know, I'm fighting it. But
people are commenting on my videos now. They're like, do you work for TikTok? Because that's all you talk about.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the resistance is futile at this point. But yeah, I'm on Instagram at Tate.Kowan. That's really all I'm on. And I don't even be on that much.
It's IG,
Yeah, but maybe that's kind of a...
It's going to change.
A downfall. I need to...
You got to get on TikTok.
Like you said, be more consistent about the social media. So it's not really my...
Yeah, because it's not what you put out. Because what you put out has, you know, has meaning and everything, but it's how you promote it.
Right.
It's how you put it out there, how people interact with it.
And we had a big rollout for this last album. Like, you know, we had a lot of really dope photos and, you know, we had...
Something light.
Yeah, Nate put a lot of really cool clips together to put out and stuff like that. But, you know, I need to be consistent to the point where I have a big enough following that, you know, when I put stuff out, it's going to get shared and this and that. So, exactly. I mean, I have less than 1,000 followers on Instagram. So follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right now.
Tate Kowan. I'm going to put that in the comments down.
I appreciate it. Below. DM me if you've seen this podcast. Listen to my music. Let me know what you think. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good all stuff, man. We've done, what, 2 videos already? 3?
Technically 3.
2? Yeah. But, yeah. It's a 2-in-1.
Yeah, we had the 2-piece.
The 2-in-1.
Yeah, so. But Woe got some good reaction. I wish it had more views. Like the Vanish 111 video, it was close to, I think, 10K.
Nice.
But Yeah, that one went crazy. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but that one went crazy.
I think
crazy.
It was the timing.
Yeah.
The timing of everything, and yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think everything just kind of worked out for that one.
I think it was like the same type of idea. I think we dropped it like right before the album came out, within a couple days or something like that.
Yeah. I know when we shot it, the album hadn't come out yet.
Yeah, but at the time when that album came out, all I had out was the singles from that album, mm-hmm. which was only three songs. It was like Frequency, Rain Down, and I Wonder.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, people didn't really know much of me, and then they heard that album, and it kind of went crazy. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's that album that put you on the map, man.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I like to think that even at this point, you know, in my musician journey, like, I'm very... very much in the infancy. Like, I'm working on piano. Like, I want to like gravitate into more musical stuff, and right now it's a lot of digital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as the production and everything.
So but you want to actually play the instruments.
Yeah, and at least get to the point where I'm working with people and, you know, creating something from scratch. That's something that I really want to get into. And as you know, time goes on, I'll work that stuff in. But even right now with the two albums I have, I'd like to think that I have something for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're a hardcore hip hop head, I definitely have songs where you're just getting barred to death. I have those songs, but then I also have like dance records.
Nice.
I have pop records. Like, you know, I've tried to keep it very, very much a mixed bag.
You got the slow, like,
exactly
depressing stuff.
You know, that's funny because it was my girl recently that was saying that to me. She said, because I was listening to, you know, she likes to joke. She says that she can tell what mood I'm in when she gets in the car based on what I'm listening to.
Nice.
Right? And then, you know, she'll be like, or she said to me recently, she goes, so do you think like listening to this kind of music when you're in this mood helps you? Like, and almost like she was trying to like nudge me, you know what I'm saying? And quickly, and it just came to me, I was like, yeah, it absolutely does help me because it helps me unpack a lot of the things that I'm feeling. And that's what I've always wanted to do with my music, because when I was growing up and I was going through a lot of different shit, music was the only thing that kept me solid, you know what I mean? And got me through a lot of that shit. So that's always been my goal in music, is to make that type of song that person going through whatever they're going through, which is, you know,
it touches hearts,
their worst shit that they've ever been through, that it's going to help them, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, you call it that depression shit, but that can be the shit that really does the most for someone. Like for me, a lot of the shit I used to listen to when I was going through dark shit was dark shit.
Yeah.
Because it made me feel like, okay, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
There are other people that understand.
You can empathize, you can relate.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's how I've always felt with my music. If I'm not making something so that people can enjoy themselves and have a good time and be positive, then I'm really trying to strike a chord and, you know, touch people in a different way, kind of like that. So, yeah.
Wow. Dude, I think we're going to end it there, man. That was really deep.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
Something light. Me. You know what I mean?
Something light. So, yeah, go ahead and follow him on Instagram, Tate Kohan. You can follow us at Blue Box Digital or Blue Box Podcast. We're going to post some 60-second clips of the podcast on TikTok and on Instagram at Blue Box Podcast. We're also on YouTube, so if you want to follow us along, the videos are going to be posted on there and on Spotify. So youtube.blueboxdigital.com is where you need to go.
Outside the blue box.
Think outside the blue box.
I got to get you a jingle for this.
For real.
Facts.
Yeah, if you do, man, I'll hit you up. I know there's a guy that I'm really good friends with, and he has a business making signs, like wood signs.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, like, let's put a wood sign behind
that
me.
Would be
and
lit.
Yeah.
I already know what you're talking about, too.
Yeah,
those are
hell
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we just got to keep building the brand, you know?
Yeah.
I'm with it, bro.
That's what it's about.
Blue Box all day.
Hell yeah. You got to keep pushing this as a platform. You know, I want to build this as a platform where people can just come on and just talk, you know, just be real.
I got to say, I know we're supposed to end it a couple times, but I'm a little rubbed the wrong way that I wasn't the first artist on this shit. You know what I'm saying? But we'll let it slide, you know?
Well, yeah.
So it's all good. It's all good. all good.
You weren't the first, but you are the best.
Oh. And I know he's not going to put that in there. He's not putting that in there. Because somebody's going to get it out.
Yeah.
Facts. It's nothing personal.
That's not going on Instagram. Yeah.
Facts.
Well, thanks again for watching. This has been Think Outside the Blue Box. Thanks again for joining me, man.
Hey, bro. I'm happy to be here, man.
We'll see you next time.
Facts.
Yeah. Thanks again.